matter what people say. Yeah. We got it going on. Yeah. Who cares about what they did?
You know me. I'm the hottest in the
community. WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beefs.
Spazzle.
To social issues that cripple the black community. All from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. Well, guys, we made it to the year 2021. You have now passed level one of the Hunger Games. Happy New Year's to everyone. And although it's a couple days past, I will not miss this opportunity to say Happy Independence Day to all of my Haitians out there. So for those of you who do not know, January 1st is Haitian Independence Day. That is the day that we declared independence from our French slave masters. And to commemorate this wondrous occasion, we drink soup. So for those of you who have Haitian friends or friends of Haitian descent, however you want to call it, and if you're wondering why you were seeing bowls of squash soup or why you were seeing selfies of people posing with a bowl of soup or eating soup, it's because squash soup is, in a sense, the symbol of our freedom, right? And so I know every year I go through the spiel of the Haitian Revolution and the significance of the Haitian, you know, soup jumu, squash soup, pumpkin soup, as some call it. I will spare you guys the details this year because it's not fair to those of you who listen to me every single year. This will be like, what, the third January 1st, I think, that I will be sharing this information. What I will say is knowledge is power. And if you are interested in learning more about the Haitian Revolution, definitely do your research, pick up some books. One of my favorite books is The Black Jacobins. I could never say it right. The Black Jacobins. You can get it on Amazon or wherever people get books nowadays. There's actually a wonderful book called The Haitian Revolution. I think it's really important for all Black people to familiarize themselves with the Haitian Revolution because, as I like to say, Haitian history is our history, as in the Black collective, the Black diaspora, right? Out of Haiti came, you know, many, many new countries, right? Many freedoms and many liberties. And so it's important for us to really understand the story of the Haitian people because that story affects all of us as Black people in general. So it's really important, I think, that people do learn that history because they don't teach it in schools. I was fortunate enough to have, my mother, who was somewhat of an academic, to share with me these things. But more importantly, at St. John's University, shout out St. John's University, I had a professor in my Africana Studies coursework, Professor Dibuifo, who literally hijacked one of the courses. I think it might have been African Civilization or whatever it was, hijacked the course and literally turned it into a Haitian Revolution course. All we learned for that entire semester was the Haitian Revolution. All of our coursework, our papers and everything had to deal with the Haitian Revolution. And so I actually am, you know, I'm so thankful for that opportunity to really have an intensive semester learning the Haitian Revolution because I would never have gotten that opportunity anywhere else. But either way, I digress. Today we have an amazing, amazing show. We have a guest by the name of Debbie Lewis, aka the go-to girl, who is going to grace us with her presence. She's going to be dropping some gems about how to get organized, right, in 2021 to optimize yourself both personally and within your business, right? Organization is something that it's a skill that, for whatever reason, a lot of us are missing. Like, a lot of us are deficient in the organizing world. And there are so many different books and so many different theories on how people need to get organized. But we're getting into 2021 after coming from a year that has been very trying, right, for most. There have been a lot of blessings in 2020. I cannot say that there hasn't. 2020 has blessed me in ways that I would have never expected, but it's also hurt me in ways that I would have never thought as well either, right? So at the end of the day, 2020 was a learning experience. It had growing pains. I think it stretched a lot of us beyond, our wildest imagination. So we do owe a lot to 2020 in terms of lessons and personal growth and things like that. But we are stepping into 2021 with this mindset of abundance and of wealth and of getting our lives together and in, just being our best selves. And one of the key ways to do that is by getting organized. An organization is just does not just have to deal with, your career or running a business. Your personal life. A lot of our personal lives are in shambles because we can't get organized. So we're going to talk about, that what that is. What is organization? Why is it important? How can it optimize your life? And what are some tips and tricks that we can start to implement in our daily lives to get us on a path of organization that will then get us to a path of abundance, right? So you definitely want to keep it locked for that. It's an amazing show. You'll love it. I learned so much just from that conversation, and I've already started to implement these steps into my life. It's all about marginal steps, people. We're not gonna, win the race on the first, I don't know. My analogies are always all over the place. What I'm trying to say is this, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon, right? So you're not going to put these things into place and then tomorrow come out, organized guru. It takes time and it takes patience with yourself. So we're going to talk about all of that. I don't want to give it all away. So keep it locked. But before we get into the meat of the show, you know that we have our preliminaries. We are keeping our preliminaries in 2021, spicing it up just a little, but keeping our preliminaries. So it is now time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Hot and fleek is lit.
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is, ooh, let me see if I could even pronounce this. Schrodinger's douchebag, or Schrodinger's douchebag, which means a guy who says offensive things and decides whether he was joking based on the reaction of people around him. Example, watch out, Susie. That guy is a Schrodinger's douchebag. He'll trap you in a thought experiment without your consent. Interesting. I've never heard anybody use that before, which seems to be the running theme with Urban Dictionary. Like half of the words, let me dare say 85% of the terms submitted to Urban Dictionary, I have never once heard anybody use them in my entire life, right? But you know what? It's funny. The actual phrase is usually unknown, but then the explanation behind it is like, oh yeah, we know what they're talking about. So this Schrodinger's douchebag situation, I have experienced this in my life. I even at my tender age, my tender age of 37, I still continue to experience individuals who act like this. This thing where people think that they can be offensive, but then if they feel like they're getting ridiculed for what they said, want to laugh it off to be like, ha ha ha, it's a joke. In turn, trying to make you look crazy for reacting negatively, right? I hate when people do that. Like, if it's not a joke, it's not a joke. If you said something offensive and I react to it, or I call you out on it, or society calls you out on it, own up to the fact that you're a douchebag. If you're an asshole, you're an asshole. Own up to it, right? If you made an off-the-cuff remark, apologize for it if you truly are sorry. But if you're not sorry, accept that you're going to be dubbed a douchebag. But I hate people who backtrack. They make this offensive remark. They make this offensive statement. And then when they realize that people are not on the same page as them, they want to laugh it off and say, ha, 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 it was a joke. And if you continue to be upset or to feel offended, it's like, yo, you're uptight. Yo, you're crazy. I hate people like that. So although nobody has in my life or within my reach has ever used this phrase Schrodinger's douchebag, I think that the concept of it is definitely noted. Like, I feel like it's definitely a thing, right? This actually happens more than it needs to. So I don't really care for the name too much, but I'm cool with the actual explanation. So as we're entering the new year, I did state in 2020 that we were going to be moving forward with the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. I think we did 2 weeks in 2020. And we're moving forward. And I remember saying that I was trying to find the right intro to kind of, you know, bring in this segment. I didn't just want it to be a dry, like, oh, now it's time for the Haitian Creole word. Although I'm still looking for the perfect intro, I think what I have today is good enough. So guys, it is now time for the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. Week's Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week is bonne année. Bonne année. So bonne année means happy new year. So I like to say that we are allowed to say happy new year for the first 7 days of the new year, right? We're allowed to send a text. We're allowed to, you know, use it in the greetings. I think we have, and I don't know if this is, you know, just a Rita-ism or if this is actually something that's in a book somewhere. But I believe that, you know, you are allowed to say Happy New Year for the first 7 days of the new year. After that, it's kind of like, let's move on. We're already here, right? So for the next couple of days, today is what, January 3rd? So for the next, I would say, 4 days, you can go ahead and use this phrase with your friends. So bonne année means happy new year. So now we are on to one of my favorite sections of this show. It is now time for the big up of the week. Watch it. Can you feel big up, big up? All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. So this week's big up of the week goes to all of us for making it into 2021. Let me give you a quick anecdote on how the devil tried to get me at the last stages of 2020. On December 31st, right, in the last hours of 2020, the devil tried to rattle me, but God is greater. I was in my elevator. And I am notorious for always being on my phone. You guys know that. I went to go get some groceries. And as the elevator door was closing, I reached into my pocket to just look at the time, right? And my phone flew out of my hand. And of course, it flew and then hit, I guess, whatever the side was. And long story short, it fell down the elevator shaft. At this point, I'm freaking out because it's, you know, December 31st, I had things to do. I had places to go. I had a wedding to attend. Shout out to my aunt, Rodney Spichot, and my new uncle, Edu Hermlin, for their nuptials. I can say that now because the cat's out the bag. But, I had things to do. And I had no phone and I don't have a house phone. And I'm like, I am assed out. So as soon as I was like frantic, I went to one of my neighbors and I'm like, do you have the super's number? And they did. And so I called the super, who happened to be like all the way in Long Island, but he was like, I'm coming back tonight. I told him what happened. I was like, oh my God, I don't even have a screen protector on this thing. Like it's a wrap. It's a whole wrap for me. Long story short, the super was able to retrieve my phone. And can I tell you how God is good? Not even a scratch, not even a crack, not even a dust mite, I don't know, was on this phone. Either way, I say this to say this. Even in the 11th hour, 2020 still tried to claim victims, but I was not one of them. And I think that all of us now entering 2021, we should give ourselves a round of applause. And, you know, just be so grateful and so happy that we were amongst the chosen to see 2021, because unfortunately, a lot of people did not get to see 2021. But what I want to big you guys up even more so for is the positivity that I'm seeing. Although nobody is claiming that 2021 is going to be their year, and I totally understand why not. But a lot of you guys, I'm seeing your posts, I'm seeing the energy, and you guys are just positive about whatever is to come in 2021. You're not making claims, but you are open and you are, you know, here to receive all the abundance and, you know, and blessings. What I have been seeing, though, is that I will be a millionaire in 2021. I am seeing that post everywhere. I am claiming it for myself. I am claiming it for all of you all. But give yourselves, you know, a round of applause, a pat on the back, if you will, just for being so positive after coming from such a trashy year. So with every high, you know, there is a low. And this week's low, this week's low goes to the the McMichael brothers, Travis and Greg, the murderers, rahther, of Ahmaud Arbery. So the murderers of Ahmaud Arbery are expressing and showcasing their caucasity and their white privilege right now. Why do you say? Well, apparently the murder suspects are asking that Ahmaud Arbery not be referred to as a victim during their upcoming trial, right? The fact is that they are claiming that, you know, there was no crime committed, and therefore the words victim are loaded and will potentially prejudice the jurors against them, right? And I'm just sitting here like, wow, the audacity to even make such a statement, the audacity to even make such a motion. Like, I'm thinking their attorney either has to be a piece of crap just like they are, or they're just like, listen, I gotta do what I gotta do, right? This is my job, to defend these people. And as outlandish as these motions and these things might be, I have a job to do, right? So I guess I can't fault him too much. I am an attorney myself. I understand how these things go. But sometimes you have to step back and just be like, really? Like, talk about, I mean, for me, I would call it a frivolous motion. But again, because I understand the law and I understand why they're why they are attempting to do what they have to do, I guess it's not frivolous to them, right? Because I don't know. I haven't seen this play out in the media like this before. You know, behind closed doors and chambers and in the courthouse, yeah, you hear all sorts of stupidness when it comes to motions and things like that. But I don't know if I've ever actually seen this play out so much in the widespread media. Like, these guys who were caught on camera are actually making a motion to not refer to Ahmaud Arbery, the innocent black man who was jogging unarmed in plain daylight, plain sight in Georgia, and gunned down by these racist murderers. They want to preclude the prosecution from referring to Ahmaud Arbery as a victim. If this is not white privilege, I don't know what is. It's, you know, these things are mind-boggling. There is mind-boggling. So they get the womp womp of the week, because, I mean, again, I guess, you know, when you're put in such a predicament, you have to grasp at straws, right? You got to throw the kitchen sink and hope something sticks. You got to throw the spaghetti on the wall and hope it sticks. So I can't say that, you know, from their perspective, that this is outlandish, because they're trying to just they're going to do whatever they got to do to make sure that they are not locked up in jail, in prison, and serving sentences, right? They're going to do what they got to do. But it's just, you know, but as a Black person sitting here, seeing this, reading this, it just reminds, you know, reminds me of where we still are in this country, right? As Black people, and where, you know, the justice system and race relations lie, right? It's crazy to me. It's crazy. But either way, they get the womp womp of the week. Now, before we head on to the meat of the show, I could not let this opportunity slide for me to not comment on this. So apparently, Mitch McConnell, who I'm sure many of us know very well right now, this name is a household name for being a cock blocker. This individual, he had his house was recently vandalized, quote unquote vandalized, in I think it was Louisville. And so whoever this individual is that graffitied his home, they are the real MVP. In my opinion, they're the real MVP. When people are fed up, they will do what they need to do. So essentially, for those of you who are not really understanding where I'm going with all of this, so let me just back up. Stimulus. I know you guys understand that. Stimulus. The stimulus checks. Everybody and their mother's waiting for the stimulus checks, right? So it was $600. And then there was like a vote to increase it to $2,000. But who blocked it? Mitch McConnell. So now America and all those watching are upset at Mitch McConnell because he stay blocking the money. Like, the money cannot reside where, you know, with Mitch McConnell alive, with Mitch McConnell making decisions. The money cannot reside anywhere with Mitch McConnell, you know, hovering around. And so this, I don't know who their name was. I mean, I don't know if they caught the person or whatever, but somebody spray painted on one of Mitch McConnell's homes. I believe it's Louisville. Either way, they spray painted on his house, "Where's my money?" And you just have to laugh at these things because the people are not pleased. The people are not happy. Homeboy is blocking blessings. He is blocking blessings. Let me tell you how many people were praying for this $2,000, right? People were praying. People were plotting and planning on the stimulus money. And when it was passed, people were like, wow. And then bam, here comes Mitch McConnell. So I'm not even mad at this person who took justice in his own hands and was like, Mitch McConnell is going to hear from the people. The people are not pleased and the people are demanding, where's my money? So I couldn't let this slide. I had to comment on it. So now we are on to the meat of the show. All right, everyone, I'm here with my very special guest, Debbie Lewis. Debbie, say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello, Debbie. So, Debbie, this is your first time on the According to RP stage, is it not?
It is, and I am so grateful. I'm honored to be here with you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, for those of you who do not know, Debbie and I are friends.
Let them know.
We're friends, you know, not just like text message Facebook friends, but, you know, we've worked out together over the summer. We partake in family events together. So Debbie is an awesome, awesome person to know. I think I really got to know more of you during this pandemic, though, to be honest. I've always known who you were. We've always interacted. But it was, I think, only during this pandemic that I really got to know, who is Debbie Lewis?
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
We spent a lot time together during the pandemic over the phone, face to face, with a mask on. It's been crazy.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
Yeah.
But I am happy to report that I like what I have learned so far, and I look forward to, you know, further engaging with you, Debbie.
I love it.
So, Debbie, let us know. I mean, I already know who you are, but let the people know who you are, where you're from, and what do you do?
Awesome. So, again, my name is Debbie Lewis. My friends like to call me the go-to girl because I can connect almost any dot and hook almost anything up. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm an organizational strategist and an event planner.
Okay. So I know that you have several businesses, Debbie. Let's shout them out before we get into this meat of the show.
Oh, God. Okay. So pretty much, I'll just say that I help my clients execute their vision, reduce overwhelm, and streamline their process in my organizational strategy and event planning business, which is called the A La Mode Experience. I also have a lobbying firm that I'm a managing partner of, and I'm a part of a real estate development group. I'm also a professor at CUNY, and I also help manage a lucrative nonprofit in Flatbush, Brooklyn, and I sell a lot of digital products on Amazon and now on Etsy.
All right. So it sounds like you really are the go-to girl. The it girl.
It girl.
So today, yeah. Today I really want to focus on the organizational industrial psychology aspect of Debbie. And I know a lot of people have probably heard this term or they've heard about this field of study. But if you could just tell us a little bit about what does it mean to be an organizational, I guess, strategist, psychologist, industrial psychologist, etc.
Sure. So IO psychology is what we call it for short, and that's exactly what I do as a professor. I kind of take one aspect of it, which is the organizational side, and I teach that to my students in different facets. So IO psychology is characterized by the human behavior in organizations and the workplace. And it focuses on the principles of individuals, organizational behavior, applying knowledge to solutions for problems that happen at work, group behavior, career development, decision theory, organizational development, individual assessment, all of that, like, good stuff. The stuff that you just think, oh, this organization looks good, or everything is structured and it's together. That's what I really focus on the organizational side.
Okay. Okay. So now let's talk about, let's do a scenario. I know you like to call them what, quick fires?
Yes. Fire rounds.
Fire rounds. So let's say there's an, or, and I'm thinking about, I don't know if you saw this, I don't know if it was an MTV or a TLC special, like Tabitha Takeover, like she went into salons and kind of like had an undercover camera, followed them for a week and was able to say, this is what's wrong. This is what's wrong. This is why you're not making money. Right.
Yeah.
So let's say you have, I guess in this case, let's take a bakery. Try to be different. Let's take a bakery. And the bakery has like 7 employees, right? And the manager is like having a hard time really, you know, ensuring that the staff respects her, that the staff is doing what they need to do. You know, customers are coming in. They're kind of like, you know, well, the food is good, so they keep coming in. But they're kind of like, you know, the customer service sucks. We don't know what's going on here. And the bakery owner is like, listen, Debbie, I need your help. I need to ensure that I'm making money. I need to ensure that I have a qualified staff and a competent staff. I feel like I'm about to lose my business because things are just not working out. What do I do? So is this an example of something that an organizational strategist would, you know, dive into?
It is. Okay. It is. So pretty much what we would do here is first just do an assessment and kind of do like what Tabitha did and just really take a sneak peek behind the scenes and kind of just watch everyone. And so some organizational development specialists, what they do is they act as if they're a fly on the wall, and they'll just take note of mannerisms, different ways that you speak, you know, how people interact with each other. How long does it take for a customer to come into the bakery, get whatever they're getting and go out. Are they leaving with a smile? Did they come in with a smile? And look at the smallest things. When you know, when they gave you money, did you make a joke? Like, you know, all of that, and really do a deep dive and an assessment to see, you know, what is it that's making the organization flourish, or what is it that's making all of the employees just stagnant in how they're performing and in how the group behavior is as a collective. So what we would probably do there after the assessment is do performance measurement or a performance measurement, and then assess workplace motivation and see if, you know, we need to do some type of reward systems or really just look at the quality of work life.
Okay.
Because sometimes it could be something that's happening outside of the employee's work, and it actually will affect their work.
Okay. All right. That's really important. The reason I wanted to ask that is because I know that there's a lot of, you know, a lot of business owners that listen to this particular program, right? And I also know that during this pandemic, a lot of people started businesses. And I hear that, you know, managing staff and really making sure that the organization, you know, is run smoothly is usually like one of the biggest issues that, you know, business owners have, right? How do we keep, how do we balance the staff versus customer quality and customer service, right? And so I always wondered, like, who goes in to help with this, right? Like, where does one learn to kind of get their staff into shape? And I feel like a lot of these business owners, not saying anybody in particular, would benefit from this type of, you know, analysis, because I think that especially in our Black community, a lot of our businesses, I think, fail not because of a lack of interest, right? Not because the food isn't good or the quality of the clothing isn't up to par or whatever it is that you, you know, your services are. But a lot of the time it's due to, you know, poor customer service skills, poor management skills, and things of that nature. And I think that if we were more open to receiving, you know, constructive criticism from somebody who went to school and studied this.
Say that.
Yeah, I'll say it again. From somebody who went to school to study this, I think that we would do so much better as a community. As, you know, we're talking about building wealth and uplifting communities and things of that nature. So I was curious and you answered my question.
Yeah. And I think the other thing with it, too, is that sometimes people are such in they're I'll say the business owners are in the hustle and bustle, making sure that they're making money and that everything is just moving in the business. And they're not concerned with how the actual employees feel at work, because are the first line to what your customers will see. You won't always be at the cash register. You're not always going to be at the door. You're not always going to be in the front opening the door when there's a line outside. So, you know, making sure that your people are good and that they're set up and that they're trained and development needs are ongoing. It's not just one time when they're onboarded. All of that makes a difference, because we need to optimize the way that job and work and quality of life are intermingled and how it's all, you know, working together. So I think it's very, very important that those things come together. And then, you know, assessing consumer preferences, like are they happy when the store is open at 8 a.m. versus 7 a.m.? Do you have more traffic depending on the time? And like you said, again, customer satisfaction, giving them something to walk away with to assess how satisfied they were. I could tell you this one thing I really love during the pandemic, when I was actually getting packages from these small business owners, these Black owned businesses that actually love into the packages. Smiley faces, customized notes, customized packaging. I will order from you again, because you're making a difference in not just the product, but also the experience. And that's exactly why, you know, my company is called the A La Mode Experience, because it's not just an experience for the business owner, but also for the consumer.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. And I think that, I mean, I'm hoping that people, you know, are listening to this and, you know, they're just like, ha, okay, I need to, you know, tighten things up a little bit. This is how I go about doing it. Because I think what you said was really important. The development of staff. I think that some companies are just so comfortable with the turnaround, right? Okay, well, if she doesn't like it or if she doesn't work out, we'll hire somebody else. And the amount of money and time spent on onboarding new people over and over and over again on an ongoing basis takes away from the quality of your business and takes away from, you know, what, you know, you could be doing to further develop the business, right?
Yeah. And that doesn't show, you know, the customers that there's stability in the business. Mm-hmm. When they come in looking for, I'm going to say Karen, even though that's the negative, that was a negative name for 2020. If they're looking and they can't find Karen, and Karen was the person that they've been dealing with for the past 6 months. Now you introduce them to Samantha. Samantha was there for 2 months, and now they're getting Timothy, and Timothy was there for three. They're like, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the consistency in the business? You know, so that's also a big, big thing. And then let's just say if you have 10 employees and they see that, you know, the turnover is so much month to month, that decreases motivation. And so, you know, that also plays into how the consumers feel and then, you know, the rest of the staff.
Yeah. Huh. So we talked about, you know, your IO experience and expertise when it comes to businesses, right? And again, you know, those of you guys who own businesses or even are thinking about owning businesses should really look into this type of analysis, right? Maybe it might not be something you want to do, like, you know, in the Q1 or the first month of opening your business. But I think that it is important that businesses get a real like lookbook as to how they're doing, what they look like, not just to themselves, but to others, right? But I want to kind of segue into this organizational strategy for one's personal life, right? So we are now in 2021. We have left 2020 behind us. Hopefully, all the negativity and all the heartache and all the pain and whatnot, you know, is left behind. And hopefully all the positive things we got from it, you know, like the ambition and the entrepreneurial bug kind of moves forward to 2021. But I find that a lot of people struggle with this notion of organizing for self, right? They don't know how to be productive. They don't know how to organize their life in a way that can, in a sense, open them up and set them up to start businesses or to start new careers and to really just go after and meet the goals that they've set for themselves in theory. So how do you go about helping one, you know, organize their life, if that's such a thing?
Yeah, so that's a really good point. And I will say this, I'll just be 100% transparent. I struggled with that for a long time, to the point where till now, like, I have a morning routine, but in order to get up, because I'm such a deep sleeper, my alarm clock would ring every 2 to 5 minutes. And that's just the first alarm. It'll just go off because I'll just ignore it. And then the second and third one will come up. But it also has, like, it forces me to look at it because I set it up in a way where it's not just saying, you know, alarm, alert, wake up. It actually asked me a question. Do you want to be great? What's up with you today, sis? Why are you still sleeping? Don't you want to hustle and make some money?
Oh, wow.
Yep. And then I, like, it has tags and I have three because by the third one, I feel it in my soul. Like, oh, my God, I got to get up. And I reset them every 3 to 4 months. So it says something else that will challenge me to actually wake up. So I will just say that because that is starting your morning off at the right time will set your day to be successful and whatever you have on your, you know, calendar or schedule for the day.
Okay.
So with organizational development, what I did to actually help personal brands and people kind of just organize themselves so that they can achieve greater effectiveness is by helping them develop, improve, reinforce their strategies, help them find a structure and a process that makes sense for them because everyone is different. So some things that worked for me were just pretty much coming up with processes and systems and figuring out what time I'm most efficient and what time my clients are most efficient, and then give and set up power hours. So this is the power hour to get this done. You have 3 employees. You need to do HR stuff. Do it at Friday, on Friday mornings from 9 to 11, because that's your power time. You have a light afternoon and, you know, people need to get paid. So figure it out during that time. Or you need to come up with a new process to, you know, organize your business and streamline how, you know, you'll let people know your marketing strategies, let people know about new products that you have coming out and things of that sort. And so, you know, coming up with the process or helping them find a system to streamline this whole thing is, you know, what I do as an organizational strategist. And so people are either they had a strategy and it wasn't good, so we are reinforcing it or improving it or developing a new strategy or coming up with a structure that helps you be successful just for your day. And another tip that I usually give to people is, listen, set some music up during your power time. If that's what gets you motivated to keep doing work, send out your emails, package your, you know, products, whatever it is, get the right type of music to get you going. Mm-hmm. And then put your phone on do not disturb, because family and friends will stop your day from going, because somebody always is going to need something.
Yeah.
So where you're most effective, put your phone on do not disturb, put your music on and just get busy.
I like that. I want to go back to this alarm situation that you have going on in the morning. I feel like I need that in my life, because it's not to say that I'm not a morning person. I'm a morning person depending on what the night before was, right? So, you know, if the night before was, you know, smooth sailing, then yes, I can get up in the morning, be up, do what I got to do. If the night before was a little rocky, my morning might also be rocky. But I do go through that alarm phase where it's like, all right, the first alarm, then I'm going to be like, can I sneak 5 minutes? What time do I really need to get up? I have this conversation with myself every morning. I need to know where you get this alarm so I can import it. I think a lot of people would particularly be interested in this, because it's positive affirmations in the morning, right? Like, yes, of course I want to get up and make money.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think so one, it's so simple, because it, I mean, for me, for the iPhone, I have my just the regular alarm for the iPhone. And I don't know if you guys know, you really could just change the name, because it just says alarm or clock at the top. Mm-hmm. And you literally can change it and make it a sentence or a paragraph.
Interesting.
And I also changed the music to kind of match that, because our body gets very, very accustomed to what we usually hear and see. And so if we know that's our alarm, that's why we snooze it and then we oversleep. Mm-hmm. So changing and adjusting the music and what you see will help you to be in a shock each time it happens. Every time you get too comfortable, and that's what happens when I get too comfortable and I know I keep oversleeping. Like right now for this new month, I have to change it because I've had it since October. And this morning I heard the alarm and I hit snooze and I was like, it's time for me to change it. Mm. Even though it's Monday week, you know, I need to change my alarm because I'm too used to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that really helped me, and it helped a few people that I've shared that with, and they saw a difference.
Okay. Yeah, I really enjoyed that piece. And I think something else you said was also really important, just really finding like what the optimal times are for you. And I know that I've spoken about this on like other platforms, but you know, not everybody is that 6 a.m. in the morning person or the 4:30 in the morning person. Some people are like the 12 in the afternoon person. Yeah.
And that's when you put your most mundane like tasks, like things that, you know, are just going to probably take long or that you're dreading or, you know, you definitely don't want to do it. That's when I would put that task in, where, you know, you can put all of your energy into that time.
I see.
That I do too is I batch my days. I batch my working days. So for Sunday, it's usually like my personal growth days. So I'll do anything that involves personal growth. And I also do a lot of my shoots to set up my social stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On Mondays, I'll do all marketing. and I'll actually do my social planning for the week. So I won't have to touch social and launching actual, you know, captions, posting pictures, follow-ups, all that for the rest of the week because I already scheduled it on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Tuesdays, I'll do all my client work and I'll just figure out exactly what they need. And then I'll let that overflow until Wednesday just in case I needed a 24 follow-up and to have meetings. I usually do that on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Okay.
Thursday, I also have meetings and I'll just do a lot of reading and research on that day. And then Friday, I'll do all my administrative tasks, all of my errands. And then I'll just jump back in. If I finish early, just jump back in to do some more work. And then Saturdays are usually like a flexible day. I can work. I can do personal stuff, you know, run errands for the house, things of that sort. But I'll usually fit that into my business day on Friday.
Okay. So it's,
yeah, back to
it sounds like to me the key to organizing your life really is to be organized.
Let me tell you something. I never did this before and I was all over the place. This was the best thing that ever happened to me because I don't have to worry about paying a bill on a Monday because I know I'm going to wait till a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just figure out, like, these are the things that need to be paid, and I'll stack them, and I'll put a note on it. Friday, admin day, I'll put the date, and I won't touch it or look at it because I know this is for Friday. So I can schedule my time to do everything else during the week. So it's, you literally have to be organized, or you'll feel like you're all over the place.
Yeah.
And people will take your time by saying, oh, can you do this? Can you do that? What about this? What about that? And it's like, I thought I was going to be organized. So if you're not organized and people don't understand how organized you are, they're going to intervene and say, well, you're not doing anything. Interrupt your day and say, well, you're not doing anything anyways. And so now they're intervening in your schedule and you're flipped upside down. So mm-hmm. you have to be organized. But it really starts with one or two things and then taking it from there. Like I started with the alarm clock thing. And then a month later, I started using systems and processes. And then after that, I started batching my days because doing too much at once will definitely, you know, set you back.
Yeah.
Because you'll be like, this is too much.
Yeah. So now you said you use some systems, right? What yeah. are some of these systems that you use to help organize, you know, your week and your life essentially?
So there's a lot.
Give me the top three.
All right. The full Google Suite, I use Asana, and I use Google Keep, which kind of like breaks down. I don't know if you know what Google
Keep
is.
I've never heard of Google Keep. I'm learning something here. Taking notes.
It's awesome. So Google Keep, you can create like little sticky notes, but it actually looks like a full board.
Mm.
You can put whatever it is on there. So like on one of my notes, but you can see all of the notes on one page. So you can like scroll and see everything and then you can make another page and scroll and see everything. So on one of my notes is vocabulary words because I just want to do like a new word every week.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has like goals. You could set up things like passwords. You can set up checklists, to-do lists, and then you can color coordinate everything. Literally color coordinate every single note. So you'll know what blue means, you'll know what yellow means, all of that. My grocery list is on there. So I absolutely love this thing because I'll never go without not knowing what needs to be done as far as a to-do list or a very important item.
Okay. Now, I know you mentioned Asana. Now, some people might be saying, well, you know, these sound like some tactics for people who like have businesses, right? Or mm-hmm. are at work or whatever. But what about like if I really just want to organize my personal life? Yep. Could you use something like Asana?
You can. You can use Google Keep because I have like my grocery list on there. I have stuff for my dog. I have stuff to remind my husband about. Asana, you can definitely do the same thing and just organize your personal life with it. It's like to-do lists. You know, you could put different hairstyles to try, right? And you can attach pictures. So you can definitely use something like that or just regular notes on your phone. But I would definitely use something that has, like, you know, an easy, like, checkbox or a line you can cross off, or that has, like, a due date, so that you are not behind on the things that you actually need to accomplish.
Okay, that makes sense. And it's, you know, as you're talking and you're talking about batching your days, I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. People try to do everything every day, right? So they're every day they're trying to pay a bill. Every day they're trying to, like, get their grocery list in order. Every day they're trying to, you know, complete, you know, certain tasks. And I think that designating a specific day for a specific type of task, I think makes a lot of sense. And I think it definitely, even if, you know, again, this is not to say that you're going to be organized overnight. That's not what we're saying. Yeah. But, you know, I'm a big fan of marginal steps. I think that marginal steps every day, you know, you try to take, you know, a step further and further in the right direction. It's not about how fast you get there. It's just the fact that you're going to get there that matters. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, if you're somebody who gets overwhelmed, because some people do get overwhelmed with organization. So with some people, spreadsheets and actual planning overwhelm them. So for people like that, how would you, I guess, how would you assist them in navigating, you know, this organizing of their life situation if they are truly overwhelmed by, you know, systems and processes and maps and apps and things like that?
So I would say, you know, simple paper and pen. I was talking to someone the other day and she was just like, you know, I need to schedule this time and that time. And I was like, let's do it on the calendar. She was like, I don't do the whole calendar thing. I'm a paper and pen girl. I was like, that's even better, because you'll know, or you can use a sticky note to kind of tell you, like, yellow stickies are for appointments. Pink stickies are for, you know, any health related things or grocery shopping, whatever it is. And you can create that in your planner so you know to flip to it, and then alternate maybe every month, like take out those cups. Do a new set if you want to be creative like that, or you can keep it forever, whatever. But, you know, you can really start very, very simple. And just like you said, you know, being marginal or taking baby steps in actually creating something. For me, I literally just put on my Google Calendar what my batch days are at the top of my calendar. So I get an alert in the morning. Today, this is the day, because I won't remember off the top of my head, like, this is what I have to do, because I'm thinking of 100 other things. So I think if you just start with a simple paper and pen, that would take you a long way.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely sound advice, because there are a lot of people, and it's not a generational thing. There are a lot of people within the millennial, or I don't know, is it Gen, what is it, Gen Y, Gen Z? I don't know. Whatever the generation is after millennials.
Then XYZ.
XYZ, but
they're gonna run out of letters soon. They're just gonna start adding them all together.
They're gonna have to go through Roman numerals, I think, at the next. They might go through Roman numerals. I don't know.
Yeah. But
whatever that generation is after millennials, you know, even a lot of those individuals are overwhelmed by process, you know, and I'm not sure 100% why that is, but a lot of them are overwhelmed by process. So, you know, we're talking about Google Keep, Google Suite, Asana, and, you know, these kids who were raised in this technological era still find it hard to really stay focused and organized, even with these tools, right? So I think pen to paper, as interesting as it might sound to them, might be more, you know, more, I guess, of their thing.
Yeah, it's crazy, because a lot of my students, I would say, like, let's say if I'm teaching 55 just for one class, because sometimes I teach two or three classes a semester. Mm-hmm. If I'm teaching just one class out of 55, I'll get 20 that are just like, I'm overwhelmed, or my schedule's all over the place. I didn't plan this out right. And I'm like, write it down. Just write it down, because you're consumed. Every time you open your phone, you're getting a text, you're getting an alert, you're getting, you know, you have 10 other apps open. You want to check your socials real quick. You got pinged to something. So if you know that your phone is so busy in that regard, then writing it down is going to be so much better for you. Or sending or setting up an alert. If you know something is due in 6 weeks or you have a deadline for a project in 6 weeks, you know, set up an alarm that'll alert you every week up until that week. And as I mean, if you suffer with anxiety, because things like that give me anxiety. Mm-hmm. If I know I set it up 6 weeks ago and then I only have 2 weeks left and I never touched it, I will have severe anxiety. But for some people that works because they are procrastinators or they like to work under pressure. And so if they know they have a short amount of time, then, you know, it kind of gets their juices flowing. Like, let me do this right now.
Yeah.
That paper and pen thing works because a lot of my students are just like, oh, I forgot, or I didn't write it down, or I didn't see the alert. I had so many emails. I'm like, if you wrote it down, you would have never missed it. You just have one journal, one book, one calendar, one whatever that's an actual paper product. You would have never missed it.
But I find that even people who are pen to paper people, even sometimes they have issues with this organizational structure, even when they do take pen to paper, right? I have seen some hot mess notebooks with things all over the place, and it's still kind of like, what the hell's going on? So I think that it's really a collective of everything that you said today that would really assist, right? So if you're a pen to paper person, that's great, but still batch your days, right?
Yeah.
Batch your days, have your sticky notes. If you need them to be color coordinated, green means, you know, I don't know, pay bills. Red means, I don't know.
Grocery shopping,
self-care, you know, do that. I think for me, like, I guess I've been batching. I don't think I recognized that I was batching, or I didn't even know there was a term for it. But I started doing, you know, just that. Like, there are certain days where I'm like, all right, I'm only doing this. And what's also helped me is I'm a sticky queen. I have sticky notes all over the place. I like to, like, you know, rip sticky notes off as I get things done. But I also have the very, very big post-it sticker board. So I don't have an actual, I have a whiteboard somewhere, but I have like the big sticky, paper, you know, poster boards that I put on my wall. I have one in my kitchen, one in my bedroom, and I have, like, you know, week goals and I have daily goals. And then, you know, with the daily goals, these are things that I know I need to actually complete today. And then I have the, like, okay, there's the weekly goals. Like, I would love to get them done on a Monday. Like, I guess I'll batch them, quote unquote, for Monday. But if it doesn't get done on Monday, it can get done at any point during the week as long as it gets done. And so I just start crossing things off. And then I do it, you know, for my personal life with things I need to get done personally, and then things I got to do business wise, and then things I got to do for my actual government job that pays me wise. Listen, that's the one that's really holding everything together outside of my Lord Jesus Christ. But yeah, I have to do it like that. And it worked. It's been working for me so much better because I am somebody who does suffer from anxiety. I didn't know that for the most part of my life because Caribbean people do not believe in anxiety. They believe in telling you to suck it up. And I didn't, you know, even when I was like going to therapy, just to go because I felt like I needed to just go and kind of be in tune with myself, I still didn't recognize anxiety and what really triggered it. And I am somebody who can get overwhelmed from not necessarily systems, because I do like the apps and how they put me together, but I have to segment things. I have to compartmentalize things. I can't just have things flowing around because then I will waste my day just thinking about the things that I need to do and not do them.
No, you know what's crazy? When I waste my day and I have not, like, broken things into buckets, I will suffer from anxiety because I'll feel like, oh my God, I didn't get that done. My tomorrow is going to be 5 times as worse as it was today. So I have to do it that way or else I'm just going to be on edge for like 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. But this is, I think, the source of a lot of people's, you know, contention. And I think that as we're entering into the new year, and again, you know, it's the new year, we don't want to follow up with the old cliche, like, oh, New Year's resolution, new year, let's get our life together. But I mean, if we're really thinking about it, January is that fresh start that everybody has been looking for, right? Regardless of how bad the year prior was.
Yeah.
It's still that opportunity to mentally be like, okay, new year, let's set some goals, whether they be new goals or old goals that just didn't get completed from, you know, the year prior. And I think this is a great time to capitalize on, I think, people's awakening that was a result of the 2020 year and yep. the creativity and then just the drive to really push forward and succeed. But the key to success for me is really being organized and really being on top of things. So I think that people really need to get a hold of that and, you know, start to really analyze and do some self-work. Are you organized? Is your lack of organization what's keeping you from getting the bag and then some?
Girl, hold on. Repeat.
I'm a let me get my doctor Filtress voice going on here. Is your lack of organization keeping you from getting the bag and then some?
That is, you know what? I'm writing that down. I'm sorry. I'm taking that. That is a clubhouse topic.
Listen, let's get on it. Let's get on it.
Yes.
Let's get on it because I have come to realize that organization is the root. If you're not organized, nothing else will go. Last minute-ness. it destroys lives. It destroys lives. It causes anxiety. It causes tension. It causes you to snap at people and it ruins relationships.
Yeah, it really does. I literally had to pivot with how I was organized because it was really stressful. I had to figure out I need to plan an outfit for a birthday. I need to plan birthday gifts. I need to plan Christmas, whatever it is, not the month of, but actually 7 weeks in advance. And I think if the pandemic has taught us nothing, mm-hmm. it is you must plan in advance because you don't know when your package is going to get delivered.
Hello. Hello.
Literally had to do that. So I think, you know, if we learn anything from the previous year, it's that plan in advance. You don't have to be a guru at organizing or whatever, but figure out what's important to you and make a plan just for the things that are important to you. And as you grow in becoming a more organized person, you'll be able to create a whole system for your whole life.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen overnight. Like, you literally have to try things to see what works and what doesn't work. And mm-hmm. it'll take time, but you have to put something in play.
Yeah. You can't get something for nothing, right? Like, I think that yeah. a lot of us, for whatever reason, we were not born with silver spoons in our mouths, but we have a silver spoon in the mouth mentality when it comes to life. Like, we're not going to put any effort in, but we want the fruits of no labor, right?
Yeah.
And it makes no sense. So, yeah, I think that, like you said, the biggest lesson for me is, you know, planning, right? And even with, you know, we talked about the vaccine, I think, the last episode or the week, 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. And many of us are going to be faced with whether or not we need to skip out on our jobs, right? In maybe 6 to 8 months, depending on whether this thing becomes mandatory and where we are personally as to whether or not we're taking this vaccine, right? And outside yeah. of the vaccine, we don't know if there's going to be another lockdown, right? We're hearing about other strains. Like, I don't know. The bubonic plague can come back. Cats can start flying. There's so many things that that might happen that, you know.
Really, like, trying not to laugh, but that was
you know, so many things can happen. And it's like, we have to, like, you know, I've been seeing, and I know I'm jumping all over the place here, but I saw a meme today, and I've seen that meme, I think it was maybe 2 days ago, where it was like checking account, $125, savings account, $10,000, $500, right? Or savings account, $50,000, checking account, $500. And it's like, you know, we have to really start taking inventory on, you know, the things that we do, how we are, again, organizing our time, how we're organizing our life, how we're prioritizing things in our life, because we don't know when another shutdown is going to happen. We don't know, you know, when we're going to need to live off of a savings, right? We don't know anything at this point. And so we have to organize and keep ourselves together, keep track of things. Like there's mm-hmm. so many things that we can get into, you know, on this episode that will probably take 3, 4, 5 days. But there's, you know, which means hint, hint, I'm going to have you back on the show. But yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. We have to plan. And that's what you're here for. So do you have, you know, do you provide services? So let's say somebody's like, wow, Debbie, you know, like this, my life has changed here. I feel like I can get my business, you know, from a 3 to at least a 7 with your assistance. My personal life is in shambles, but I think that with your expertise, with your guidance, I can get my life together. Do you, you know, what type of services do you provide for the individual or for the business?
So, I do provide personal services, personal branding services, and organizational strategy services. And so if anyone reaches out to me, maybe send me a DM or send me an email, then I definitely can, you know, customize something for you that best fits your needs, because everyone's schedule, everyone's life is different. And so every service package is going to look different. And I think that's the best thing, where you're creating, when you have a professional that's creating something for you that absolutely works. I'll say this. Last week, I told my husband, I know he wasn't going to do it, but I told him, I said, listen, remind me to take X, Y, and Z before we leave the house, or else we'll be stuck here. And he was just like, okay, no problem. I wrote it down. He does this thing now, because I always remind him to remind me or tell me to do something, especially if it's for him, and to like do a note. And he does this like voice note, Siri, please remind me to do this. Mm-hmm. So Siri reminded him, but he didn't take Siri's advice to actually do the thing. And so we get to the airport and he's just like, where's the paper? And I was like, did you remind me? Now I already got my stuff together, because I already know my checklist, everything. And he's just like, well, are we going to stay here? Like, what's going to happen? He starts freaking out at the airport because the flight, like we're boarding for the flight. He forgot this thing. And here we are. And I'm just like, this is why we should be organized. This is why we need checklists. And I think it comes down to the smallest things, where you just need a little service, a little something that shows you how to remember when to organize your documents, or how to just get this thing wrapped up so that you are not struggling when it comes time for something serious, or something, you know, that you have like 2 minutes to complete. How do you stay on top of that? And I think it really comes down to getting a professional and creating a customized service that really just tells you, this is how you get it together, this is how you keep it organized, because you could forget the smallest or the slightest thing that can really hold you back or set mm-hmm. you back.
I'm glad you mentioned the Siri thing, because that is something that I actually do. Again, you know, I've tried over the years to figure out what works best for me. I am somebody who gets inspired on the fly, right? That's the creativity, I guess, in me. I'm in the shower. Mostly the shower is where, like, more so in the shower, I guess, you know, let me correct my English here. But in the shower is more so where I get my inspiration. So I take my phone with me in the bathroom and I'm like, you know, hey, Siri, remind me to do X, Y, and Z. Hey, Siri, X, Y, and Z, X, Y, and Z. Like, that has really been a tool. Oh, there we go. Siri's answering.
Look, you said Siri, she started responding from the back.
She started responding from the back. She was like, first of all, you're not going to call my name and not have me make a debut on your show.
Hello.
That's what she said. Hello. So you know, let me not say her name so that she doesn't pop up again. But, you know, she who shall not be named. I name her, you know, when I'm in the shower, sometimes in my bedroom, like if I'm walking or whatever the case is. Like those of you who have iPhones, because you've made wise, you know, decisions in your life, use the tools that the iPhone has given you. And Siri is one of them. And it definitely goes into my, you know, read a peer folder. of the things that I need to do. And because I'm so trained in doing that, I go in once a day or twice a day even. And I have like in my reminders checklist folder, okay, did you do this? Did you do that? And then again, that's another way to keep myself accountable. And it's okay to have more than one checklist. I think people think you only have to have that one notebook. I got stuff all over the place.
Yep. I do have a friend though that literally every time we have a meeting on something, she has like 7 books. And I'm like, okay, we spoke about this, da, 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 and you said you wanted to do X, Y, and Z. Where's that? Oh, it's in my other book. You came to the meeting without that book? I'm so confused.
Yeah.
People on that, because it's like, seriously, like have one book, like if you want to journal your personal thoughts and stuff in the morning, but if it's something to keep you organized, business related, personal related, anything like that for your organizational side of your life, make that one book.
Yeah. And date it.
Date
the pages. If you want to get a little freaky with it, put the time next to it. You know what I mean?
Yes. That is a pet peeve. Multiple books, multiple journals. Why do we have so many? Unless they have a specific purpose for each. But if you're talking about the same thing going into 5, it's like, you know, you can't keep track of one thing. You can't backtrack and say, oh, on this day, this is, you know, what happened. There's no way to track personal growth on certain items if you have like 10 books and they're all being used at the same time.
Yeah.
But I literally have a journal and then I have like a workbook that I use, and I'll like date things and I'll, you know, put to-do lists and things of that sort. Ideas, business ideas, anything like that in that book. Once it's complete, I now, the word escapes me, but I now store it. And I can always go back and, you know, look at my personal growth. Or what was I thinking about business wise 5 years ago? Did I forget something? And I'll, you know, update that and put it in a new book. But if I have 10 of those things, forget it. It's not happening.
Yeah, no, I feel you. And you know what? In full transparency, at one point in my life, I was your friend. And it wasn't on purpose. It wasn't on purpose. It was just that I just, you know, would grab whatever, like I would have them, all the books like close to me. So it's like, if I'm like, oh, I ran out the house, I'm like, I just need a notebook to write things down. But I did realize, I mean, the thing with me is that I keep all my notebooks in the same place, but, you know, having to go through all of them to be like, oh man, which one did I write this in? Definitely is a, you know, so I just have the one that I just keep in my purse. Like I keep it in my purse at all times. I, you know, I only take it out when I need to look at something, and then it goes right back in my purse just to, you know, avoid the situation of, oh man, I'm running out the house, let me grab a notebook. And then that becomes a notebook for the week. So, but yeah, it can be super messy.
Yeah. This was good, Rita.
It was good, Debbie. Debster. Awesome. Definitely. Well, I think that we gave the people some helpful tools. I won't say hopeful because I know we gave them some tools to be able to at least start getting their life. And again, guys, it's marginal steps, right? You're not going to, this is not going to like, you know, overnight become like, ah, the aha moment. And now tomorrow you're like on the way to becoming like Bill Gates or something like that. It takes time, right? And it takes a lot of discipline too. And sometimes you have to like be disciplined to be disciplined, if that makes sense. Like you have to force yourself to become, you know, disciplined. So, you know, it might be frustrating and it might not, you know, you might be like, oh man. But again, that's why hiring somebody like Debbie would definitely work. And I'm not saying that because she's somebody that I know. I recently hired myself like a business coach who wasn't Debbie. Debbie, again, more strategist and whatever. And because she's my friend, you know, she gives me gems all the time anyways. But I hired a business coach specifically for the business that I was dealing with. And I had never had a business coach before because I was like, I know what my issues are. I just got to do it. But sometimes you need that outside person. You need a fresh set of eyes to be able to give you a different perspective, because if you really were doing what you needed to do, or if you knew what you needed to do, you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't feel the need to have to seek, you know, advice elsewhere. So
exactly.
Yeah.
All right. And I think it all comes down to like, really just like what you said, finding someone to hold you accountable. Sometimes it's a professional, sometimes it's a friend, but you know, you got to figure out what to do so that you can be successful.
Exactly. So Debbie, drop your tags for us. How can we find you? Where can we go? Give us all your socials.
Awesome. Thank you. So Instagram is at the Debbie Lewis, THEDEBBIE Lewis, LOUIS. That is Instagram. That is Twitter. Facebook is Debbie Lewis. Clubhouse is the Debbie Lewis. So literally my name, just to make it easy. My company name is at the A La Mode Experience, but you can find it under any one of my socials because it's always tagged to my personal. Cool.
All right. Well, thank you, Debbie, again so much for taking the time to drop some knowledge on the people.
Thank you.
And to really get our 2021 started off on the right foot. I think a lot of us have the mindset, but we just need the tools. So thank you for providing us some of the tools.
Yeah. And I definitely have a few free checklists that I am actually launching for 2021 that just help people stay a bit more organized. So if you follow me and send me a note or DM, I will definitely share some of that with you.
All right. Well, everyone, Debbie, again, thank you so much for gracing us with your voice and presence.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And everyone, thank you for tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I will talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all on.